Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It is time to go to the guest line today. And it's been just a little over 2 weeks since we have had a new mayor here in St. Louis, Kara Spencer, and now she joins us on the guest line this morning. It is good to talk to you, Mayor Spencer. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me this morning on this beautiful rainy day.
Oh, it's going to be like this for another day at least, so enjoy it,
I
guess.
Keeping the parks green.
It is. It's keeping the parks green. So we were sort of joking about the quick turnaround from the election to then becoming mayor. It's like a week, and you know you have to jump right into it. Now you've been on the job for 2 weeks. How much does it feel like needs to be done, you know, just to get settled and maybe figure out what exactly it is you're working with and then move forward from there?
Sure. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, the old saying about drinking from a fire hose is pretty much what we're feeling right now. There's a lot of things to get settled, staffing and things like that. But we've hit the ground running. We've made some good progress on some of those things, and we feel good about where we're headed.
You know, when we look at this transition, obviously there'll be some new department heads as you kind of get all the ducks in a row. Where are you with that as far as department heads that are here and staying department heads that you will be naming?
We are going to be making some announcements here in the coming weeks about that. We've made some good progress. We're going to keep some folks on. We have some city department heads that have been doing a great job for decades, frankly, some of them. And so we're excited to keep them on board. But we are going to be making some changes here as well. So it'll be a little bit of a mix, but the official announcements will be forthcoming here shortly.
So, I don't know if how deep you want to get into it, but how much continuity will there be? Because it is a big apparatus, right? I mean, it's not like you can just come in and replace everybody. So is there a decent percentage of people that you're keeping around from the previous administration?
There are. I mean, some of these folks, like I said, have been around for decades. And so there's going to be a good amount of continuity. Some of the things, some things have been working fairly well. We want to make sure that we keep those trains on the track. But, you know, I mean, I would say maybe 50-50, something along those lines, maybe a little bit more staying on board. But look, we have to make some constructive changes to be able to deliver services better to our citizens. And we're excited to do that.
There was reporting this morning on Total Information AM about you wanting to see that there's more proof. There's proof that a proposed north-south Metrolink line will get federal support before the city commits to spending more money on it. So what is your reasoning behind that, and where are we with that north-south Metrolink line?
Yeah, the north-south Metrolink line is such an important project. I am a huge supporter of public transit, and I, you know, believe strongly that cities that are moving forward, you know, have robust and developing, expanding public transit systems. And, you know, we passed a sales tax in 2017 to support the expansion of the North-South MetroLink line. At that time, it was a 17-mile, 33-stop projected expansion. And, you know, there's been a couple things that have happened since then. In the last couple years, the plan truncated significantly, went down to about a third of the original size to just over 5 miles and 10 stops. You know, and with that really short line, you know, I think it really positioned us for, you know, a much lower rating at the federal level to get the necessary required federal matching to make the project viable. And then, of course, with the new federal administration, it got even tougher. So before we continue to spend tens of millions of dollars on the project, I want to make sure that we have viability. I want to make sure that we're competitive against the, you know, I think 25 other projects that are vying for the federal matching dollars, especially as those dollars tighten up. It's important that we get this right. This is, you know, when we have public transit expansion dollars, they don't come often. And so when we put these to use, I want to make sure that we're doing it in the way that's going to expand our public transit in a way that can position our city for growth.
So what is the appetite for that north-south line in the first place? Because you said it went from the original proposal of 17 miles, now it's down to less than half of that. Is it an issue of money, funding, or is it an issue of people who live in those areas don't want it there?
Well, there's been a little bit of that. You know, you've probably seen the Jeff Vanderloo neighborhood really being very outspoken about not wanting the MetroLink in their neighborhoods. But look, the original line went from South City to downtown and really strengthened the core of our city. This new orientation bypasses downtown by just going up Jefferson. And, you know, I think there's a whole host of questions that we need to be answering for the public about the viability, making sure that with the new federal metrics on scoring these projects, that we are at the top of the list. Because we all know that, you know, locally funding massive transit projects is very difficult. You know, and the vast majority of cities don't do it alone, you know, and we shouldn't either. We cannot afford to do it, frankly, because the price tag is so high. So, you know, I think it's going to take a real ROI, you know, return on investment analysis to really understand how we put our best foot forward in the changing landscape of public transit in general.
I know we've got more questions to ask you. Just a quick question, because you mentioned some of the pushback. What about people who don't feel safe, feel that security has been lax on the MetroLink? What would you tell them?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, and I have to be honest, I felt it myself, you know, riding the MetroLink. You know, they're, you know, especially when you see people smoking and doing things that you know are illegal, to be, you know, just kind of doing willy-nilly. And I think that safety concern is something that we're going to be focusing on. I know that's a big concern for everyone, frankly, and making sure that, you know, that public transit can and is used by everybody. It's not just the MetroLink line. Look, the bus system is pretty expansive. You know, we use the buses from time to time. My son, who you know, gets around, you know, uses the bus system. And I want to make sure that this is a system that can be and is used by everyone.
We are talking to Mayor Spencer here on the Chris and Amy show. One of the programs that has been put on hold is something that when it's described or when it's told to you, it sounds like a pretty good idea that you've got these derelict buildings in town who have landlords who may not be here. They may be somewhere else, and they're allowing them to deteriorate with no business in them, no residents in them. And it's bad for the city when that happens, but these landlords nothing can be done against them. And there was this program to stabilize those buildings, and then there was a problem with the funding and who was getting the contracts to do that, and it was being done against the landlord's will in a lot of cases. So you have put that program on hold. Can you explain what the issue is with it?
Well, the program itself was very well intended. You know, the Board of Aldermen, through a couple of different ordinances, allocated $13 million to stabilize vacant buildings. And this is not just landlords. These are property owners that have allowed properties to deteriorate, as you talked about, over many, many, many years. And the idea here was to put those funds into stabilizing the buildings and making sure that we're doing our part to hold property owners accountable for allowing our historic architecture, the built environment assets that the city has, making sure that we are keeping them intact, because they have a lot of value, not just to the property owners, but to the city as a whole. And so deploying those funds, though, was done in a way that really was extraordinarily, damaging to the broader community. Because for one, you've probably seen the lack of oversight, the building inspector, who is now under investigation because he set up several entities, it's my understanding, businesses that were awarded the projects of doing the work. And so we saw a massive amount of federal dollars going into very, very questionable contracts and building owners being charged for work that wasn't done. I mean, we're talking about, you know, you've got a building owner getting a bill for $125,000 for, and a lot of times we've seen, you know, evidence of work not being done. So the well-documented issues with this program really, really, you know, pushed us to act swiftly to end the program and so that we can start to immediately reconsider ways to invest the rest of the funds in a way that builds trust and builds community, particularly in North St. Louis, where we've seen so much disinvestment over many, many decades.
So your intention is to have this program, but it needs to be done better. Is that what we're talking about here?
Well, you know, the program itself had a lot of different issues, a lot of problems. You know, I mean, you know, you have tens of thousands of vacant buildings in our city, right? And the program really only had 59 projects, properties involved in it. It's my understanding there was a lack of metrics to decide even how, you know, which buildings were involved. The large amounts of funds put towards buildings, you know, there was no, it really lacked a level of oversight and strategic thinking involved in how you deploy those funds. So the program's intentions, I think, were very good, but we need to rework the entire program. That means who's in charge of it, what are the outcomes, how are we deciding which buildings we're investing in, and how do we deploy those funds in a way that can build community and build up the buildings that have been left to decay over many, many years. It's important that, you know, when you're pumping $100,000, that was the average, you know, $125,000 per building, that, you know, it has a net return for the broader community. And we saw that just was not the case with the existing program.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mayor Spencer, St. Louis City Hall has dropped its lawsuit trying to stop the takeover of the St. Louis City Police Department by the state. So you had said that that lawsuit had fallen short. So that lawsuit is dropped. Is there another lawsuit in the future coming from the city?
Well, Amy, the lawsuit itself was problematic. And that was, an issue that the judge involved identified. And so the city didn't exactly drop it, but it was really dropped by the courts because of the flaws in the lawsuit itself. And I don't know if you had a chance to read the opinion issued by the judge and the order issued by the judge on that case, but wow, it was really scathing. And so yeah. I think, kind of taking a step back from that, we want to make sure that if we move forward with any legal action that we're well-grounded, and that we are, in compliance with federal, with the laws required to take action, and that we're doing so in a way that moves the needle forward and doesn't put us in a negative position with the courts and with the state, frankly. I mean, we've got, there were two claims. I think it was unfortunate that the lawsuit was, erroneously described as, really being able to stop the state takeover of our police department. Really, there were just two counts in the lawsuit. And to be frank, the Hancock piece of it that really addressed the cost to the city of the police department, we're looking at whether or not that has merit and we can move it forward. But again, I think it's incredibly important that we handle these things carefully. And that we do so with the trust that the city has with the court system. I mean, we can't break that down. That's an important piece here.
So what it sounds like is I know that you are against the state takeover, but what I'm hearing is that there just isn't much that can be done about the state taking over the police department, that it's going to happen. You are just concerned with how it's going to be funded, right? If there's an expansion.
What I would say is I am strongly in favor of local control of our police department. Absolutely. And I have been and will continue to advocate for that. I mean, I think that's the right control there. That being said, we are still in the process of evaluating whether or not there's a path here. And if we determine there is one, we'll take it. I think it's important that, that we are made whole, that we can continue to operate as a city, and that we have a police department that, answers to the citizens that it's protecting. And I think that's really, really important here. So we'll move forward if we can. We're still in the process of evaluating, but I think we're going to have an answer on that fairly shortly here.
When it comes to just the practical aspects of running a city, so much of your campaign was focused on that. Like, let's make sure potholes are filled, trash is being picked up. Have there been any steps you can let people know saying, hey, here's what I've done right now to start working towards those basic city services?
That's a good question. And we are focused on that. We have an interim director of operations, and we are in the process of recruiting a full-time new director of operations on that front. And some of the the important roles there in the streets department and other things. So right now, we have spent the last 2 weeks really evaluating the operations of those departments and identifying immediate and long-term paths to improving the delivery of city services. And I think you'll start to see some of those things roll out. We'll be rolling them out in the coming weeks. But there's going to be some staffing changes. There's going to be some process changes. And we're excited to roll those out as we move forward. But largely what we've been doing over the course of the last 2 weeks is getting our handle around the existing system and what changes need to be made.
Mayor Spencer, we appreciate your time as always. We thank you for giving it to us. Now that you're mayor and no longer alderman, then you have not forgotten about us. So thank you. And we hope to talk to you again soon.
Of course. I look forward to it.
That is former alderwoman Kara Spencer, now the mayor of St. Louis, just over 2 weeks into the job here in STL.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long!
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.